It's 6:02 right now. We're going to just give folks a few more moments to arrive. Please, of course, make sure your microphones are muted. Next up, we'll have a quick announcement in Spanish. And then I will be back to let us know we're getting ready, and the chair will give a welcome. Thank you for coming.
Buenas tardes. Gracias por acompañarnos esta tarde. Hay traducción en español disponible. Para acceder al canal en español, vaya a la sección por debajo de su pantalla, por la derecha, elige el icono del globo mundial y seleccione español. Si tiene alguna pregunta durante la plática, por favor escriba su pregunta en la área del chat o utilice la función de levantar la mano por debajo de su pantalla. Durante las actividades del grupo pequeños, por favor, de regresar a la sala principal para la charla tradicional en español. Gracias.
Those who just arrived, we're just going to give it another minute before we start the welcome and jump right in. Chair Harrington, why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Great. Thank you, Elizabeth. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to be joining you here this evening. I'm this little person in the blue dress sitting here all by myself here in the auditorium, though I have a couple of staff here as well who are helping to run the logistics of this meeting. I also want to make sure that you know that a few of my district commissioner colleagues are participating in tonight's listening session as well. Perhaps you can see them on your screen. There's Commissioner Dick Scouten representing District 1, which includes the Alloa, Beaverton, and Cooper Mountain area of Washington County. And then my colleague, Commissioner Pam Treese, is there. Hello, Pam. She just waved to us. Hello, Commissioner. Commissioner Treese's district includes North Beaverton, Cedar Mill, Cedar Hill, Raleigh Hills, Bethany, and North Bethany, as well as Helvetia. And a little bit of Hillsboro to the east of Cornelius Pass Road.
Nice job.
Oh, thank you. We very much look forward to hearing from you tonight on a whole variety of topics, and we've secured some facilitation resources to help us go through this evening well together, including the use of breakout rooms. So this is our first ever listening session. We have a whole series of these going on for the next couple of weeks. So if you have friends who weren't able to join us this evening, we have another community-wide event on the schedule, and all of these meetings are announced and posted on the Washington County website. That's co.washington.or.us. And I am thrilled to have Marcus Mundy joining us this evening to serve as the key facilitator for tonight. Marcus is the executive director of the Coalition of Communities of Color. He also happens to be a Washington County resident, a father, and a respected resource for all of us here in Washington County, our greater Portland region, as well as our wonderful state of Oregon. I hope you will join me in welcoming Marcus Mundy.
All right. Well, good. Thank you very much, Chair Harrington. As Chair Harrington said, my name is Marcus Mundy. I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition of Communities of Color. The Coalition of Communities of Color is one of five members of the Washington County Racial Equity Collaborative, which is rounded out by Vision Action Network, Adelante Mujeres, Bienestar, and APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. So there are five organizations working in Washington County for your benefit. I'd also like to thank everybody who's on this call, because that means you're not watching the Democratic Convention tonight, which kicks off tonight. So thank you for recognizing that all politics is local and all issues are local. So thank you for joining us tonight. As well, I'd like to apologize in advance if you hear me lisping or looking at me like I'm a crazy man. I lost a crown today, so if I sound like, or this week, so if I sound like Yosemite Sam, that's gonna come up here and there. You'll just have to bear with me a little bit. So that's a little housekeeping. And now I just wanna go over a few things, a little more housekeeping. One, you saw while you were in the waiting room that we had some PowerPoint slides about the agreements for this meeting. Let me just go over them real quickly. One of the most important things you can do at this meeting is stay engaged. Pay attention to the speakers, give them your silence and your respect. Make sure your mute button stays on and just pay attention, because this is having to deal with your county. Speak your truth responsibly, which means all the commissioners who are joining us tonight, all of the county staff who is on, and your fellow members of the public are interested in what you have to say about Washington County. So please share that, but share it responsibly and respectfully. Listen to understand. Please don't just listen so you can come back with your counter argument. Listen, make sure you're understanding what the other persons are saying, and then when it's appropriate, raise your hand or use the technology to make your voice be heard. Be willing to do things and experience discomfort. Many of the people on this call are communities of color, they're disabled, they have other things that make them different from you. They're used to experiencing discomfort. So if you're in a category that does not often experience discomfort, lean into it, just get used to it, and you'll learn a lot tonight. Expect and accept non-closure. You're not gonna get every answer to every question tonight. Sure, the county staff will give you technical answers to things that have a yes, no, a finite answer, but some things are the purpose of this whole exercise, which is to have discussion with other people that live in Washington County, to have discussion with and make sure that your commissioners are listening to you, but you might not get all the answers you want or all the answers. And maintain confidentiality. It's important that the people on this call know that they're in a safe environment. And while we will have two breakout rooms and the main room will be recorded, the breakout rooms will not be recorded. So for those who want to be extra safe and extra anonymous, you can say whatever you want in those breakout rooms and they will not be recorded, and you do not have to identify yourself. And then just generally, I would just add that, you know, if you're typically outspoken, take a step back and let someone else talk who might be a little bit more reticent to talk or engage in the dialogue. And if you're typically reserved, here's your opportunity in a safe and confidential setting to share your opinions with your community members. You may have a perspective they've never considered, so it's important that you do step up. Even though this is not as brief as I could be, keep your comments as brief as you can so we can hear a lot of opinions along the way from all your fellow residents in Washington County. I will say again, this is a public meeting, so everything in the main room is going to be recorded. And in fact, the contact information of individuals who communicate, whether by speaking or in the chat room, you're going to have to be identified in the public record. So keep that in mind as you decide whether or not to join a breakout room or the main room. And again, the breakout rooms will not be recorded. And I think it was talked about, and maybe it was on the slides, but Zoom etiquette and options for engagement. Use the chat room or raise your hand to speak and mute yourself when you're not speaking. So hopefully, I cannot recall if you have the raise hand option technologically, but you can just physically raise your hand and one of the chat room monitors or people from the county or from the rec team will try to acknowledge you. And the last thing I want to do as a bit of housekeeping is read a couple of statements about the county. So this one I'll actually read verbatim. And it tells you about your county government in case you confused it with the city or with metro or your state government. County governments serve as the safety nets for our communities. Here in Washington County, we have programs that range from our health and human services programs with everything from public health, women, infants, and children, and programs for veterans. We house a collaborative library services effort through the county in partnership with our cities. We also house a variety of public safety programs, including the Sheriff's Office, Community Corrections, and Juvenile Justice. It's critical to note that the county board currently does not have any policy for programmatic oversight of the sheriff, who is independently elected. The board does have oversight of the sheriff's annual budget, a critical factor, which is adopted in late June of each year, keeping with the July to June fiscal calendar. So that's what your county government does for you. And I also have, since we're gonna talk a bit about public safety tonight, I have a note from the sheriff as well. The sheriff says that on our website, we added a message of support to your listening sessions and provided easily accessible body-worn camera information. In case it's helpful for you to know, you can find it on the sheriff's website landing page titled Community Listening Sessions. The sheriff's department also linked their body-worn camera policy, frequently asked questions, and a fact sheet on that same tab there. You will see it when you open the page about two-thirds down the screen. And finally, to encourage robust dialogue and input, the Washington County Sheriff's Office will not be registering in the Zoom room, will not be on this call or on any of the six sessions, but they are able to capture notes from the community's remarks. They wanted to make sure that you knew they were supportive of this exercise, but they didn't want a stilt conversation by attending this meeting. And so now we're going to go into the body of it. And in a moment, Kevin, we're going to have a couple of polling questions. But first, I just wanted to remind people, some of the people on this call may have been recipients. The county a little while ago sent out a one question survey to the residents of Washington County, and they got a lot of responses back. But the question was simply, please indicate what topics you would like to discuss. And they listed out several topics. They listed out community needs, public safety and policing in the sheriff's office. They listed out the county budget, racial justice and racial equity, direction of the county, transportation and traffic, affordable housing and homelessness, economic development and business, and other. And they went through those topics and they got several of those topics had over 100 responses, and one almost had 100. And one of them that we're going to talk about, which was actually the predicate for this meeting, was from a meeting that was held by the commission maybe a little more than a month ago. But in that session, and one of the primary reasons for this listening session was to discuss law enforcement's use of body-worn cameras. So while we're all in this room together, we're going to ask a couple of anonymous polling questions to get your quick feedback. Now, I'm going to ask Kevin to put up a poll. We're going to give a poll, but I wanted to tell you, if you're in this meeting room right now or you're on your smartphone and you can see what's happening on the screen, you will see the poll pop up both in English and in Spanish. And it's gonna pop up in a moment. If you're using the audio feature only by calling in from your phone, you won't be able to see it. I will read to you what it says. I will let you know the outcome of the survey, but I don't believe you'll be able to vote. But for those who can see it on the screen, you'll be able to vote. So Kevin, if you would you please put the first polling question up?
Yeah, yes, I will, Marcus. Launching poll right now.
Well, that was kind of scary. Okay. So the question in English is, how do you feel about equipping all law enforcement with body-worn cameras? Oh, and please just take a moment to answer the question. And remember, it is anonymous. We are not tracking anybody on this. you all have very clear opinions on this. We're going to give it about 10 more seconds, Kevin.
Marcus, I see someone named Megan Fitzgerald who's asking about access to the poll in the chat room. If she has a smartphone or a computer, she should be able to see it now. Is that correct?
That is correct. If she does have a smartphone or a computer where she can see all the faces on the screen, she should have access to this poll. But I will let one of the technical people speak to that if that is wrong. All right, Kevin, let's see. So where we wound it up on this poll, for those who cannot see it, we wound up with those who strongly agree with the statement, how do you feel about equipping all law enforcement with body-worn cameras? 56% of you strongly agree, 16% of you agree, 11% are not sure, 10% disagree, and 6% strongly disagree. So we're just going to have one more question before we start engaging in conversation. And we're going to have a second poll question. Now, the second poll question, we're going to offer some statements about the use of body-worn cameras. And you may want, and you want them to read the statement, and I'm going to read the statement. I should have practiced. I'm going to read the statement and find out which ones you agree with. You're going to respond to the poll, but I will read out loud the options on the statement so everyone will follow along. So Kevin, if you would, please.
Absolutely.
Oh, so the question is, I believe that body-worn cameras, and this is the multiple choice, and the choices are, A, they intrude upon the privacy rights of residents. B, they promote accountability and transparency to the public. Training and personnel evaluation. C, they help provide compelling evidence in criminal prosecution. D, they unnecessarily increase police budgets. And E, they require trust in the police to turn on the camera when engaging with the community.
There's one last choice there, Marcus. There's one last one if you scroll down.
Oh, I gotta scroll down, okay. Oh, thank you very much. And after the required trust in the police to turn on the camera when engaging with community, it also, the final choice, F, can produce video that is edited to misrepresent or distort the situation being filmed. So those are your six options. You can, I believe, pick as many of those options as you think are accurate.
So it's not just a pick one, it can be a pick many?
I think yes.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll probably give about another 30 seconds and then we'll cut it off, Kevin. Thanks. And just so you know, while the poll is finishing up, after we go to the poll, after we finish the second poll, and I will report out the results, we are going to go to the breakout room, although many of you will remain, everybody will go to the breakout room, but those of you who wish to have the discussion in the same room as the commissioners can leave the breakout room and rejoin the main room. But I will caution you, I'll probably remind you a couple of times, but I will caution you that once you leave the breakout room, you cannot go back. So I would offer invite my co-host to opine as well. But I will offer that if you wanted to split your time, because we are gonna be about 40 to 45 minutes in the breakout rooms, if you wanted to split your time between the non-recorded, very anonymous breakout room before you rejoin your commissioners. That is absolutely your option. Did I miss anything there, Glenn? Or
all good, Marcus.
All right, very good. So, Kevin, can we cut off the poll? I think we're pretty well done. And the results of the poll for those who are just listening in. So let me see if I'm at the top. Okay. So number A, intrude, I believe body-worn cameras. And then the first option, intrude upon the privacy rights of residents. That was only 13% responded affirmatively to that. The second one, promote body-worn cameras, promote transparency to the public, training and personnel evaluation. That was 65%.
Weird, isn't it?
That is a weird phraseology, but the bottom line, I think, is that both that it promoted accountability.
When you went,
we're 65%. Yeah, well, we'll verify that that is asking what we think it was asking. The third one, that body-worn cameras help provide compelling evidence in criminal prosecutions, was 47%. So about half of you believe that. For those that thought body-worn cameras unnecessarily increased the police budget, that was 25%. A quarter of you believe that. For those that thought body-worn cameras require trust in the police to turn on a camera when engaging with community, 60% of you thought that. And I'm sure there will be some discussion about that. And for those of you that thought body-worn cameras can produce video that is edited to misrepresent or distort the situation being filmed, that was about, that was 27%. So again, about a quarter of you believe that. So what we're gonna do in the next few minutes, starting very shortly, is send everybody to the breakout rooms. And what I wanted to reaffirm is that once you get sent to the breakout room, you can absolutely stay there, and your facilitator, you will have a different facilitator in the two breakout rooms. There are two breakout rooms. So you will have a different facilitator in each one of those, and you can continue this conversation about body-worn cameras, or using your own will and your facilitator, you can talk about anything else you'd care to talk about in that room. This is your time. You are the residents of Washington County, and your commissioners want to hear from you. For those who opt to return to the main room, which is where I will be along with several of my colleagues and your commissioners, we will be there having, again, this conversation on body-worn cameras, and then we will go wherever the conversation goes. This is your time as Washington County residents, and your commissioners wanted to hear from you. So with that, unless I have missed anything, we should go to the breakout rooms. Glenn, Elizabeth, anybody, are we okay to go to the breakout rooms?
Thank you, Marcus. I see a note here, a question from Lori McFadden and from Tom Engel asking, if they leave the breakout room, can you listen to the commissioners later, and how will we return? Once you get to the breakout room, you'll see a small button, I believe in the bottom right-hand corner, that says leave meeting. If you click that, that'll bring you back to the main meeting. As Glenn said, you have one out, you get to do that once. So you go into the breakout room, you can click the leave button and come back to the main channel. But once you're in the main channel, you can't get back to the breakout room. I hope that answers your questions.
And without further ado, because of my long-windedness, we're a couple of moments behind, but you should be about 40 minutes in the breakout room, and then we will return to the main room for a download. We do want to hear report outs and what happened in each of the breakout rooms, as well as the room with your commissioners. So I'll see everybody in a little bit.
Marcus, this is Christina Barbosa, and I want to make an announcement in Spanish to remind folks of Spanish translation.
Gracias.
Buenas tardes y gracias por acompañarlos esta tarde. Hay traducción en español disponible. Para acceder al canal en español, va a la sección por debajo de su pantalla, por la derecha. Elige el icono del globo mundial y seleccione español. Si tiene alguna pregunta, escriba su pregunta en el chat o utilice la función de levantar la mano por debajo en la pantalla. Puede hacer su pregunta en español y será traducida en inglés. Durante la actividad de grupos pequeños, por favor de regresar a la sala principal para la charla en español. Solamente tiene que elegir de dejar esta cita y regresará a la sala principal. Gracias.
Kevin, take us away.
Elizabeth, could you send me to one of...
Okay, so it looks like, Marcus, we have 17 in the main breakout room.
I am sure they will be more. Who could resist hearing and speaking with their commissioners? But
I can only see 5 of you on the screen.
Oh, okay. You could probably change that little button with your speaker view to get a few more on there, but it just depends on your screen.
That's too, okay. Right? Kevin's running it for the room.
Oh, okay.
I just thought I'd let you know what I'm seeing. That's all.
Oh, very good.
Because you all may see something different than me.
Okay.
So, Chair Harrington, all the other participants have their cameras off, so you're just seeing people with cameras on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. So many Zoom things to know.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to kill a little bit of time and let people understand the technology and then float back as they come in.
So, will you be our facilitator for this breakout room?
Sadly, that is the case.
That is not sad at all.
I am your room's facilitator, but.
I'm excited that everyone's going to have a chance to share their thoughts with Commissioner Treese and Commissioner Scouten and myself, as well as everyone else in the group.
Very, very good. I'm trying to see, make sure we have everybody that belongs in the room. Basically, I was looking for my staff. I see one of the wonderful coalition staff, because I know within this room, actually now I see we have a couple of pages now. I was only looking at one page, but within this room we probably have a couple of staff folks, a couple of county folks, and they'll be taking notes and monitoring the chat room so that if questions arise, they'll just chime in and let us know along the way. So I'll give it about 30 more seconds, and then we'll get going, you know.
Marcus, can you remind me how much time we have for this part of the agenda?
On our agenda, we had about 45 minutes total. We will have a 10-minute warning by either the note taker or the chat room guardians of the galaxy. But for now, we'll make sure that they give us a 10-minute warning, and then we'll have a final 1 or 2 minute warning before we're all dumped back and before everybody comes back into the main room. And so we're probably about 10 minutes behind. So I would shift our thinking to instead of about 45 minutes, about 35 minutes. But oh, when everybody's on mute, it's actually kind of peaceful on this thing. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get going. I'll get us going because I do want to honor people's time and I want to give as much time for dialogue as possible. I will say that those questions on body-worn cameras have teased up a notion that I do want us to consider, but I will add a little feedback that I got from members of the Washington County community. In fact, at least one comment came from some of the folks that were, I think, the catalyst for the chair and the commission reaching out to the community for information and wanting to hear back from the community before any final decisions were made. So the things I heard were just what that survey reflected, in that a lot of positive things can come of it, but I also heard a lot of cautionary things related to cost, related to data storage, related to things that they will do with the data. One of the questions intimated that, you know, what will they release the information slowly or not completely? What will they do with the information? So I heard both sides of the argument from the community, and I wanted to make sure that the people on this call, if they had strong opinions one way or another, please share them, because there are a lot of opinions out there. But the survey reflected back that most of the people, at least most of the people on this call who voted, thought body-worn cameras were a good idea. So I want to start there. Does anybody who is a strong proponent for that care like sharing some discussion about that? Or, contrapositively, if anyone is on the opposite side of that, we would love to hear that opinion as well. I want your commissioners to hear as much of the pro and con as possible. So I'm going to be quiet, and I am going to look for the raised hands, the questions in the chat, or somebody who wants to just speak to the group.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please, Chair.
This is Catherine Harrington. I'm wondering the frequently asked questions document, the policy document, and the fact sheet that the sheriff's office has on their website. Were those links able to be shared in the chat room for folks? I see Elizabeth shaking her head yes. Thank you. Thank you. I don't have access to the chat myself, so great. Thanks.
Thank you for checking that. I am in a vacuum over here, so I just assume the staff has everything together.
So, Marcus, you do have a hand raised from a Mr. Tom Engel there.
Oh, okay. So how can I hear from Mr. Engel?
Actually, I raised my hand so that when the body cam discussion is done, I had another issue I wanted to raise.
Very well. And the one thing I will say, I'm not trying to goad anybody to speaking about body cams. You all, this is your time and your call. I just wanted to make sure before we moved on to the next issue.
Well, I did notice that the starting point of the body cam questions was about all of the staff wearing the body cams, all of the sheriff's staff. And my ignorance is that I don't know, there may be some where it makes a lot of sense to wear it, and there may be some that, who wants to watch them eating lunch? I mean, I just don't know what the lay of that land is. And so I thought that was an unfortunate starting point for those questions, was everybody wear them as opposed to those doing certain jobs or tasks or whatever. But that's just a comment.
Marcus, I don't know if it's appropriate. We can clarify that slide. Thank you for that note. These body-worn cameras are specifically for sheriff's deputy patrols. So patrol deputies only. And we will clarify that for the next listening session.
And I will get an additional answer for you from the county. But my understanding of when police actually wear body cams, it's when they are in their active duty. So I don't think it's when they're going to the McDonald's or, you know, doing paperwork. I just want to check. I will check with the county on that, but I think that's accurate as well. I think Maggie had their hand up, and I just wanted to make sure. Are you ready to speak, Maggie?
Yeah, thank you, Marcus. I just have a question about what kind of data is available about the effectiveness of body-worn cameras, because I have read some research that the data hasn't really been collected. So I'm just wondering what information the county has to support body-worn cameras and their effectiveness.
That's an excellent question. And just, I should at this point share with the group that I am learning as much about body-worn cameras as you are. So I'm just gonna try to facilitate if there are people on the county staff, because the sheriff and their staff are not here, but if there are people on the county staff that can answer the question. I will encourage them to raise their hand and answer the question. And by the way, I should have said this to the whole group, and I will say it when they reconvene. Any answer that the people on the call right now and the staff of the county who are here right now that they cannot answer, they are committed to getting you those answers and then posting it with the results of this listening session, the questions asked, and the answers to those questions, and in many cases, the links or the telephone numbers of the key people holding the key information. So I did want to get that on the record, but I cannot answer that question, and I would lean on county staff to answer that for me, or at least direct Maggie to the right spot.
Marcus, Elizabeth again. Yes, I think that's right, that we don't have public safety officials here tonight. So any of these good questions you have that are not that are specific to data and that sort of thing, we've noted and we'll have that in our follow-up.
And even if any of you, because I understood the sheriff's comment to be that they did not want to taint the conversation or over influence, but if some of the county feedback is that, hey, they should be on this call, give that, and I'm sure your county commissioners will take that under advisement as well.
Right. Marcus, next we have Rena has her hand raised.
Hello, Rena. Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good evening, Board of Commissioners. My name is Rena Miyamoto Sandal. I'm a lifelong resident of Washington County, and I'm currently a bilingual educator in Washington County. And I'm speaking to you tonight to demand that you defund the sheriff's office instead of funding more body-worn cameras. I would go on to elaborate as to why, but I'd like to begin actually, and you'll have to forgive me, but with describing my apprehension about these listening sessions that you've organized. Your stated intention of these listening sessions is to listen to the community and, quote, help you understand community needs from a wide variety of diverse perspectives, end quote. However, I have reason to consider your intentions at least somewhat disingenuous. Let me tell you what they are. I know that many reputable community organizations have already joined together to very clearly and formally demand that you defund the sheriff's office instead of funding more law enforcement. And they've provided you with research. According to Reimagine Oregon, your prognosis on this demand currently is in research, and the timeline is unknown. And the legislative lead for it, for the sake of accountability, is the sheriff himself, as well as an elected official who is yet to be determined. I'm surprised by the apparent lack of urgency on following through with this demand, especially considering that these demands have been made to you in the community and reinvestment proposal with research provided already from the following organizations: CARE Oregon, CAUSA, the Oregon Immigrant Rights Organization, the ACLU of Oregon, Washington County Ignite, Washington County Justice Initiative, the Asian Pacific Network, American Network of Oregon, the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant Justice, and the Virginia Garcia Memorial Health Center. And again, this demand is also explicitly stated by Reimagine Oregon, which draws from the proposals of the Urban League of Portland, the Portland African American Leadership Forum, the Coalition of Communities of Color, and Unite Oregon. So all of this is to say that I do not need to go into details right now about the many reasons why Washington County should defund the sheriff's office immediately, because I know that the extensive research and reasoning has already been provided to you with the assumption that you would freely act with initiative to benefit your communities of color. So instead, what I am going to say to you is I'm going to state my support for the demands you have already heard, and to let you know that if you do not make a commitment to defunding the sheriff's office and setting a clear timeline for it and selecting a legislative lead for it other than just the sheriff himself, it'll be pretty clear to me at least that your listening sessions are, and again, you'll have to forgive me, but a public relations charade and not genuine. So defund the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Body-worn cameras will not be effective, as we know from the fact that appropriate action was not taken in spite of the Washington County law enforcement's brutal assault on Albert Molina in 2018 being caught on film. Defund the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Defund the Sheriff's Office. Defund the Sheriff's Office. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Rena, for your comments.
Does defund the department mean, does that mean eliminate it completely?
In almost all of my understandings, defund the department does not mean that, but that's a fulsome discussion that needs to take place
between
the community and the commissioners. I have not heard a single, well, I have heard a few defund proposals. I haven't heard it for Washington County, but I have heard a few defund proposals that support abolishing a complete police department, but I haven't heard that universally. So
defund means hold static and no new money. Is that what defund usually means?
I've heard lots of interpretations. This is a community discussion, but I've heard for defund, it generally means divest and reinvest. It means take existing resources that are allocated to police departments and reinvest them on things that have a higher value return, whether that's in social services, wraparound services, homeless services, mental health services. But again, it depends on which organization or which person you're talking to. So I'm just trying to facilitate this, but I have heard different things respective to the defund conversation, the abolish conversation, and jurisdictional conversations. They vary from place to place. Well,
Rena, can I ask Rena the question? When she said, I think it's a she, yeah. When she says defund, does she mean eliminate the department? Or does she mean scale it back half? Or, I mean, what's the metric? That would help me think about it.
Yes, you know, I would encourage you to look up Reimagine Oregon. And I would encourage you to look at the community reinvestment proposal. That these have already been fleshed out. You can find those online. I would be happy actually to drop them in the chat right now.
Thank you both.
Marcus, this is Christina Barboza. We have a question in the chat box in Spanish. And it reads, I believe that the residents who are undocumented would be intimidated and relate officers with ICE. And how would you all educate and inform the community about the differences? I'm just saying this from personal experience.
That is a question that I would defer to my colleagues at the county. And if it cannot be answered now, we can answer it later, but that is an entire process.
Hi, Elizabeth again. So, you know, our format has been a listening session, so the commissioners are here just to hear your questions or comments. We're making notes of all of these questions, and I will ask the question about public education around body-worn cameras, if that's the correct interpretation of this question.
Very well. Any more discussion on that?
Looks like you have Kelly has her hand raised for a comment.
Hello, Kelly.
It's not discussion on that. Switching the topics. I'm a representative of SCARS, which is a survivor collective alliance reaching out to society, which is domestic violence survivors. But touching on the housing, which has come up, and I mean, there's so many issues we could touch on for survivors of domestic violence. But housing is a really important thing. And just thinking about, so how, you know, there is not affordable housing, and we're now in this time of COVID where partners are like in their houses together, and, you know, abusees don't have a place to get away, and we don't have enough beds, and, you know, what is Washington County really doing in terms of where can people go? You know, there's not affordable housing. There's not a place to be. Just thinking about what do people trying to get away from abuse situation do in these times?
Well, you're Kelly, is it Kelly?
Kelly, yes.
Okay. Your question reminds me why I'm glad I'm not a county commissioner. That's the first thing. What you suggested are very difficult choices. I do know that that the county is trying to figure out how to implement with Metro an affordable housing bond, a recently passed permanent supportive housing and homelessness dollars. Those dollars won't necessarily come online instantly, but I know they're looking at housing options for people who are have problems finding housing. And I also know, without knowing all the details, I also know that they do look at cases of domestic violence and try to find alternatives for them. I cannot answer your question about housing in the time of COVID. There are several housing tsunamis coming as a result of COVID. You know, it's going to be an eviction tsunami. There has been a noted and marked increase in domestic violence in the homes of people stuck there with COVID. I know the county health department is aware of that because they've reported out those statistics, but I do not have the answer about what the alternatives will be short-term and long-term for victims of domestic violence and their housing problems. But I know that the county has noted this question, and if there is an answer, they will post it. If there's ongoing activity they have, they will keep you apprised of what those options are. And I'm sorry I don't have a better answer. But
no, I know it's very complicated. Yeah, we have 300 some members to our group that are looking for, people trying to find a space, trying to get out, where do they go, what do they do? If you don't have the money, you have people actively, your abusers actively, like keeping you from getting a house. And I think a lot of people don't think about that. You think, oh, you get out and then you're fine. But abusers often like use housing and things like that as an abuse tactic and get their victims evicted and things like that. And what do we do? And what are their resources?
There are many kinds of domestic violence. Physical is just one. There's economic violence, there's isolation violence, there's a lot of different types of that. So hopefully our colleagues at the county will provide at least some options and some contact information. I'm sure your network is well aware of what's available, but perhaps they will provide a few more.
All right, next, Marcus, we have Brian Decker.
Hello, Brian.
I think that Kelly raised a really good point, and I think that there's a way in which it relates to Tom Engel's question as well about defunding the sheriff's office, because the way that we're thinking about all of this ought to be in terms of the money that's involved in all of these programs, right? The question shouldn't just be, is a body camera program good or is it bad? It should also be, is it worth $1.4 million, which is what's on the table for the fully funded body worn camera program that the commission is debating? And would that $1.4 million be better put to some other purpose, right? That's the larger question of what defunding the police means, what defunding the sheriff's office means. Is all of these things cost money. And when we think about something like domestic violence, if we think about it in terms of a public safety issue that can only be answered with more money to the police, then we're missing out on something like investing that money in housing instead, investing that money in other ways that will combat the problem of domestic violence. And it's not just domestic violence, it's homelessness, it's addiction, it's mental illness. All of these things are problems that I think that everybody would agree are problems in our society. And when we conceive of them as problems that are public safety issues that have to be addressed with policing and the criminal justice system and courts, we end up spending so much money in those areas and not addressing the problems before they start. We end up trying to address them in a way that is not very effective, not very efficient, and ends up being kind of cruel. Whereas we could try to nip it in the bud. We could try to, stop the problem of addiction before people get so far gone that they end up committing crimes, or stop the problem of mental illness before people get so far gone, and houselessness as well. So that's why I'm urging the board to reconsider the use of this $1.4 million. It's not just about, is it a good idea to have a body-worn camera program, but is it a good idea to use the money in that way? And the $1.4 million is really just the drop in the bucket. I mean, we're talking about a budget that the commission passed in June unanimously, that even set aside the body-worn camera money, increased the policing and prosecution budget by $7.2 million. That's, again, before factoring in the $1.4 million that's still tabled, but cut everything else, cut other spending across the county by 5%, cut mental health services in the county by 7%. So the sheriff's office and prosecution is the only thing that the county is increasing during a time when we're having to have budget cuts, or the only significant part of the budget that is being increased. We've got $1.5 million additional to fill the jail when the jail should be reducing its population to avoid overcrowding during COVID-19.
So Brian, I think I'm not trying to cut you off. I just want to give everybody a chance. Now, one thing I will say about your comments, I think you've kind of distilled a lot of the trade-offs in the thinking that both the commissioners and the community are thinking about right now, as far as, is that the proper use of the money? Should it go for that? Are there better and higher uses of it? And can we still be safe and efficient as a county with the reallocation of those? I think that's the gist of what you were saying, you know, even as you started looking underneath some of the increases and decreases they made. So I think that is one thing that the commissioners do need to hear and are considering in their deliberations. But I think it's important that you brought that up. And I hope that is not lost in the further on discussions that they have. So I do want to give a few more folks a few more opportunities, but I wanted to make sure that you got, is that most or all of what you wanted to get said, Brian?
I'm happy to give other people the opportunity. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Marcus. This is Christina. I might interject with some Spanish dialogue in the chat box. There's a comment regarding, I'll just directly translate it. It says, I am in a minority group, and I will be most comfortable if they, law enforcement, would have a camera in effort to avoid racial profiling and abuse of power.
I would thank you for the question very much. And I will say one thing about that. In my role as who I am right now, I too would feel comfortable with people, with police officers having body cameras when they accosted me or had interactions with me. But I have also heard from others in the community that they would feel uncomfortable with police having body cameras. One of the reasons they gave me was because some of the jurisdictions that bring in body cameras, they also link it to facial recognition technology, and that can be prone to abuse by those in ICE or others using that to recognize, to get undocumented people or to get people for totally unrelated warrants having to do with that incident, but they use it inappropriately for those purposes. So the only thing, and why I think the commissioners were interested in having this conversation, is that both sides should always be looked at, and then those decisions have to be weighed by the policymakers and lawmakers and residents. So I actually embrace your position, and yet there are those just as valid who say, no, I don't want it for some of those reasons. And there may be other reasons, but those were actually shared with me, and I just wanted to share that with the group.
I just wanted to pop in quickly and let everybody know that we've got about 8 minutes left in the breakout room, so folks will be joining us then, and I'll give everybody a 1-minute warning as well.
Thank you very much. And I do hope to hear from some more people, and maybe we can keep the comments, I'll try to stay out of it, but keep the comments a little briefer if possible. If not, we will just go with the flow. You have five more opportunities for these community meetings.
So Marcus, we have Don Miha. Don, you can go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yes, Don Mejia. I just want to thank you. It's the first time that I participated here. I will be brief. First of all, I appreciate the concern that a lot of people have regarding the issue of safety when dealing with police officers and all that. But as a citizen that is concerned about the safety of my city, my family, and my neighbors, I would prefer that if there are decisions made concerning the changes in the way that law enforcement works, that it is put to the voters instead of just making decisions in a small group with a small board. As a citizen, I would actually appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment very much. Kevin?
That was the only additional hand I saw.
It looks like Tom Engel had his hand raised as well. And he did ask a question in the chat too about carbon neutrality. So maybe he wants to express that question aloud.
Well, I just want to, thinking about the 600,000 people who live in the county and all the businesses, those who travel to the county, those who travel through the county, you know, that is the full jurisdiction. What policies and programs is the county going to do to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050, which really is our worldwide goal? And so what are we going to do here? And I'm trying to ask the question about the full county, not just the county as its own narrow operational business, which is pretty small, actually.
Well, I'm not Nostradamus, Tom, but I think they're going to have to get back to you on that one as far as getting their data about DEQ and their carbon policies. I will check with
my... I just want to make sure it's on the record for the commissioners that at least some of us are thinking about what they're doing for the whole county with respect to carbon neutrality, not just what Washington County as a narrow business is doing.
That's a great question, because they're the commissioners for the whole county, not just Washington County. So I'm with you on that, Tom. Thank you.
So Marcus, it looks like Kelly, you had another comment.
Yeah, I wanted to jump back in, and this goes to, I mean, being generally trauma informed, like training the police and being trauma informed. So this reaches domestic violence, it reaches race, it reaches religion and, like, you know, gender, just in terms of how police are being trained. They're not thinking about body cameras or things like that, but just basic trauma-informed training. And I know a lot of survivors that have, like, called and had a really not positive experience with their, you know, with police when they're trying to explain what's happened. And I know so many others that haven't had a positive experience. So just in terms of, like, education and being trauma informed, like not even thinking about body cameras, just like, how are we educating the police at this point in terms of, like, what does trauma mean and how are you trauma informed? And how do you address someone who's mentally ill? Someone who's, like, going through a trauma, someone who's, like, had an experience that you've never had.
Kelly, I know I've been part of some discussions where, and the question you pose is wrapped up in a lot of different areas. It's wrapped up in police training. It's wrapped up in defund the police and the disinvestment and the reinvestment in the right areas, which it sounds like part of that trauma-informed area is mental health and knowing how to process. It's tied up in budgets, because, you know, what you're saying is probably good for every single county employee to have trauma-informed training, although perhaps it might be sequenced with those who are in touch with the public the most or deal with people in those situations the most, which could be the police or the mental health professionals. But what you've tapped on is a very much larger discussion. Again, going back to Brian's comments about the reallocation of the whole pie, where resources go, what is prioritized. But I think what you raised is a very important question. And I hope and expect that your county officials, whether it's the commissioners or the staff here, will get you some of the answers about what they're doing currently and what their plans are for the future and what needs to be lifted up for the future.
Thank you.
Marcus, I just want to interject again. This is Christina Barboza. So there is a great dialogue in Spanish in the chat box, and I just want folks to know that we will get that translated. So their comments are not going unheard. And there's just also a comment regarding that there is a need for more representation of other minority and ethnic groups from the community that live and that reside in Washington County. And it is great that they asked for our opinion and they wanted to hear our voice today.
Good, thank you, Christina. Is there anything that discussion that you want to lift up, one or two notions that they crystallized, or you just want to gather it and provide answers later?
Well, majority of the conversation that went on was regarding defunding police, the need for mental health resources and training, addressing poverty issues that may be the root of criminal behavior, and then also racial profiling within law enforcement.
Okay, so there's a lot there, but you know, as long as they lift it up, then the county team will respond. So thank you.
And I just want to pop in and let everybody know we do have about 2 more minutes before folks join us again from their breakout rooms.
Well, even though there's only 2 more minutes left, if anybody has any issue on anything related to Washington County, you have listening commissioners and listening staff. So unburden yourself and please share it with this group.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious about the recently passed public safety levy and what percentage of that is going to the Sheriff's Department versus what percentage is planned to be invested in the housing and intervention services.
I'm apparently the font of all ignorance, but I don't have a clue what percentage, but I know they will provide that to you, though. That's an excellent question.
Maggie, I have that. So while everybody's getting back from the breakout room, I'm going to go dig that up and I'll bring it back and I'll put it in the chat room.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Maggie.
And then before we're joined by others in the breakout rooms, again, this is Christina Barbo with Community Engagement. There is a comment in the chat box regarding indigenous communities from rural areas of Central and South America and asking how we are going to provide language appropriate services for those that speak indigenous languages and dialects.
Well, I know in dealing with some friends and colleagues at Centro Cultural, for example, they deal with several folks that have indigenous languages as their first language. I know that if you lift up to the county and make them aware of the languages in which you need services, that typically they respond. If they can't respond instantly, they try to find a resource that will make that person, whether they're entering the library system or the healthcare system or some other system of the county, they will try to find resources. But I cannot speak to the codified systems they have in place today for the indigenous languages. But I do know they have encountered it before and they have dealt with it. I don't know if they've resolved it, but I know they've dealt with it before. And again, your question will be noted and the county will get more accurate information than that for you. But thanks, thank them for the question, please.
Marcus, it looks like we have everyone rejoining us for the main session. So we'll give everyone just a moment to come back in.
Oh, well, in fact, one thing I did not do in the main room session was tell the note taker or the chat room person that we were going to kind of have a summary required at the end of this session. So since everybody is back, welcome back, everybody. That's the first thing. But the one thing that I would want to share with our remaining time or have a conversation about is we have planned to hear from all three breakout rooms, breakout room one, two, and those of us that remained in the main room. And so what I would like to ask at this time is whoever is responsible in breakout room one or breakout room two, I think Maribel was one facilitator. I think Glenn was the other facilitator. If one of you or one of your representatives from your group are prepared to talk about the highlights of your discussion now, that would be great. And I will use that as a stalling tactic for the note taker or chat room person in the main room to get their thoughts together so they could follow you two and give the highlights of our discussion, if that is all right. So Glenn or Maribel, who would like to go first?
I can go, Marcus. I have an excellent team that already sent me some of
them. Oh, okay.
And for those who were in the breakout session, thank you so much for the comments. I might miss some of the things you said, but I'm just going to do the key topics. But remember, we're going to send all of the details to the commissioner and the county team. Under housing and homelessness, there were different conversations about ensuring that there was safe housing for domestic violence survivors, and in addition to access for housing for them, creating rules to help keep our neighborhoods diverse in terms of tenants and leasing, making sure that the developers are also on the same page about the importance of the costs and how that relates to our community. There were topics about the income guidelines and the qualifications and how the set number of what your income is based on how what unit you can rent is not achievable for a lot of the communities of color. For example, the idea that a family, to live in Cornelius has to make an income of about $45,000 for that low income families. There's a lot of details related to that. I'm sorry, I'm not making it justice, but related to income qualifications, there's comments about that. I'm going to go just to do another quick message here with more details that I think can help summarize better this. More support for shelters in regards to the police. Of course, there was a lot of comments related to defunding the police and the sheriff's office, getting police out of schools and include more counselors into our schools. For housing, there was more about helping support with mental illness, addressing racism in Washington County and being intentional of what that means, and that the having a DEI office is not enough. There is a lot more work that needs to happen in reference to that. We referenced various resources like Reimagine Oregon and Leading the Race Report, and we didn't have a lot of an opportunity to talk about body cameras on police, but there were various comments in terms of how there was some approval for it and some disapproval for it. And those are all my points. I apologize if I didn't get everybody's comment on there, but rest assured we're going to give all of the details, all of the notes back to the county team and the commissioners. Glenn, you ready?
Thanks, Maribel. Sure, we'll hand off the baton. We had a great group. I would, first of all, I'm pleased that two folks announced that this was the first time they've been involved in anything like this with the county. So we had two first timers. So hats off to them. And they shared some comments. Some of the comments that we got were that they want to see Washington County and our elected leaders being proactive about making decisions, whether it's, in regards to the protests, we're seeing everything that's been going on in Portland. Let's not wait until something problems arise in our own community. Can we be proactive about taking actions in that regard on racial equity issues, for example? There was a question about equity. So a lot of our conversation was around the equity and the decisions that are being made and whether or not the approach, we talked about the equity and inclusion office. People were pleased about that, but made it clear that, wow, we don't envy the person who is in that role, and it ought not be their sole burden or the burden of five people in an office of equity and inclusion. Please tell us that that burden is being spread out throughout the county and that the county owns it as a county, not as, hey, these five individuals are going to solve our equity problems. So that came up. There was feedback around community engagement. The fact that we're having this is much appreciated. Some felt it's long overdue. And I think that was perhaps in relation to COVID, that we've been going on with this for 5 months, and it feels like that the county has been doing a lot of work, but not necessarily engaging in like listening sessions like this. Would have loved to have seen listening sessions like this during the crisis that would make the residents feel more heard. There were questions specific. I was so thankful to have Jack Liang in the room and Amanda Garcia Snell, because there were some questions that came up that they actually unmuted themselves to provide some specific answers. Questions around budget, whether or not the sheriff's office and the DA's office were going to be contributing in the budget to the Office of Equity and Inclusion. So Jack kind of explained how that process is undertaken. There were questions about whether we will have indicators of success for equity. What does that look like? Amanda gave some examples of indicators that are currently in play, and that, yes, that is intended. So those are some high-level issues. We talked a little bit about housing at the end. We didn't have a lot of time. But the fact is, people are saying we have an affordable housing problem now, and even though we're building more housing, we're going to have a moratorium lifted before we know it. What are we doing to help people? How are we going to deal with the thousands of people who will be struggling to repay what they owe? So I'm going to leave it at that, unless my awesome chat room attendee Sarah has any other comments that she would like to add.
No, I think you covered it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to hand it back to you, Marcus.
All right. Back to the danger zone. Well, first I will check and see if anybody from our group would like to step up. And if not, I can share a few comments that I heard along the way. Too many hands all at once. Okay, so let me just share. Well, what I heard in our session was some very good and stark questions. We spent a good amount of time still on the body-worn camera issue. We talked about some pros and cons around that, some of the risks and some of the rewards. I think our discussion, to my recollection, still landed largely as that the polling did, the survey did, with what I heard most being in favor of it. But then I heard we heard a very clear description from one of the commenters that there are reports, there is data, there is support for not having it. And she went into some details about local nonprofits, some coalition of community of color member and coalition of communities of color own research on some of the downsides of body-worn cameras. And so while we didn't land the plane and come up with this is good and this is bad and this is what we must do, it was a rich discussion, and there were a few comments that have to be answered by county staff afterwards. We also spoke about housing and the nexus between housing and domestic violence. We talked about the nexus between defunding the police and all the other social wraparound services and behaviors that are required to, if you defund the police, where do you invest the money and who gets the money? So that came from a couple of different angles, from a couple of different folks in our conversation. And again, there was no finite landing place, but they gave the commissioners some kind of pointed ideas on the things they're wrangling with already, but they were heard, and they were also putting together ideas very clearly that show the difficulty of how do you fund when you have all these competing interests. And again, I know I'm not doing justice to those conversations. So anybody who was in the main room, if you could share something that I overlooked or misstated, I would welcome that feedback.
Hi, this is Andres. The only thing I wanted to add to that, Marcus, was that there was some good, rich discussion in Spanish in the chat with a lot of folks, really sort of talking about the role of police, whether or not they're actually there for our safety, or whether or not they know how to do those jobs. So whether they need to be retrained or they need to be defunded, I think is a pretty lively debate between community members that they want to hear more about and engage more with the commissioner. So that's the only piece I'd like to add.
Thank you, Andres. And so now we're at the point of the discussion. We're almost there, and I can give you some time back. I just wanted to make sure that if anybody had anything else, we have, I don't know, 12 or 15 minutes left before I pass it off to Chair Harrington. Oh, Elizabeth has her hand up. Okay.
Hi. If we could, Kumar and Jack both had issues with their Zoom connection and asked if they could just provide their comments now. I don't know if we have time for that.
We have a few moments. I would just encourage Kumar and Jack to, if you would, try to limit your comments to a couple minutes each. And that way, if anybody else had any burning comments before we got off and handed it back to Chair Harrington, we could get them in as well. But please, I don't know who's first, Jack or Kumar, but please go ahead.
Highland, I think they need, or Kevin, they need to be unmuted.
I don't need to comment. It was a plus one to a different comment. So Kumar, it's all you.
Thanks.
And Kumar should be able to unmute themselves.
Hello. Kumar entered in the chat box that he's not able to unmute.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Are you
able to hear me? No problem.
He looks unmuted.
Yes. We can hear you.
Oh, thank you. Firstly, I want to thank the Board of Commissioners for initiating this series of community listening sessions and giving me an opportunity to speak today. I want to highlight a particular issue. Certain Washington County officials hold the public to very high standards. On the same note, I would reasonably expect that residents of Washington County would want to see that a high standard of ethics is upheld by county officials. So how does the county administration hold county officials who abuse or engage in improper governmental conduct accountable in their transactions? To that end, I propose that the Washington County Board of Commissioners formulate a disciplinary grid very similar to the sentencing grid used by the state and federal judiciary. As you probably know, the judiciary does not have a discretion whether or not to use it. They simply have to apply the law. And that should be a similar standard that should be applied to county officials as well. I would like to invite your views on this.
Well, Kumar, I don't know if Elizabeth planned on saying something, but I don't expect to hear from the commissioners on this. They're here to listen today. I don't know if the county has a specific answer on that, but if they do, if they have a disciplinary tree or a grid similar to the sentencing guidelines that you mentioned, I'm sure they will share that. And if not, I would just ask our colleagues at the county to share whatever it is you do have. I'm sure it's in the public domain about discipline for county staff. If I understood you, Kumar, it was about the county staff specifically?
Yes, specifically county officials who abuse people of color. Okay. And impose different policies on different people. It does occur, Washington County, right here in the city of Hillsborough. It's not Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. It's right here. It does happen every day, but it's not reported. potentially because of retaliation or other concerns. So I just want to bring this out to you and get to know what the public and the residents feel about it.
That is a very good question. We live in America, so I don't disagree with you at all. And I have no doubt that it occurs in Washington County and all other 35 counties in Oregon, for that matter. So I don't have facts. I just believe that. So, but they will respond to you, Kumar. Sure. And I will ask before we get off. One thing I did want to remind everybody is that there are 5 more listening sessions in quick succession. There's one on Thursday, there's one next Monday, there's one the following Thursday, there's one the following Saturday, and then one the next Monday. So within the next 2 weeks, you're going to have a lot of sessions and opportunities. So if you did not get an opportunity to opine, weigh in, or you didn't even like the way the conversation went, you have 5 more chances to be heard. There are sessions around BIPOC communities, LGBTQ communities, disability communities, Latinx communities, and another general session. The one on Saturday is the second general session. But in any of those sessions, no matter their label, you can still bring up any topic as a county resident that you care to raise, and the county must respond because they work for you. So,
that's okay. But if not, I can just keep quiet.
No, I think we still have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you so much for your leadership. You know, I've seen you around in Portland. We really appreciate you for your leadership and all our Washington County leaders. I see Pamela. Thank you. Shout out to you for all the work you do. I just feel I am surprised that a decision has to be made quickly. And at the back of my mind, I'm like, is this one of the approaches that we use in the government sector, where we just say, oh, a decision has to be made and we have to check the box, so that way we're going to have 5 committee sessions. So I just want to ask if there is a need for it and we don't get enough feedback from BIPOC communities. Let's bear in mind that Washington County as a whole, we are still working on strengthening our relationship with BIPOC communities here. So if we don't hear enough from them, can we still extend these conversations? That would just be my question.
So this is Chair Harrington. I'd like to make sure that everyone has the benefit of a little background information on this. So the board heard a proposal back in June to look into directing some money towards the full implementation of body-worn cameras. We decided to, before making a final let's implement decision, we, because of some mixed feedback that I especially got within the first 24 hours of introducing that proposal, proposed that we delay our decision to put that funding into practice until we had the benefit of community conversations about this. So we have been receiving feedback since those public meetings in June, when we discussed the proposal to move from having just 16% of our law enforcement personnel using body-worn cameras to, over the course of time, having 100% of the law enforcement deputies deployed with body-worn cameras. So we have been getting feedback for a couple of months now. This is the set of very proactive community listening sessions over a 2-week time period, done in a culturally specific manner. So that's where we ended up wanting to host these in the August timeframe, so that we can get a report from our facilitation contractor for the commission to then reflect on that feedback. So I expect that we will continue to get emails and phone calls from members all the way through our decision-making between now and the end of September. not limited to just these six listening sessions. So I just wanted to make sure that you and everyone else had the benefit of that background information.
Thank you. I just also wanted to make sure that, you know, we are elevating and centering the voices of people that we don't regularly hear from, and that will be members of our BIPOC communities. So thank you for your feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you. And before I give it to Chair Harrington, I see Tom Engel will get the last word. His hand is raised. So let us hear Tom's comment.
And maybe it's for a future session, but I'd like to know what we're doing to try and help families that have trouble with all the tech stuff and childcare be successful at distance learning.
That is
families that don't have Wi-Fi, that don't have the devices. We live in, you know, ground zero for the tech world, and to have those families struggling is at worst embarrassing and at most kind of a lunacy. Let's help them.
Now, Mr. Engel, I think most of the people on this call would agree with you on that. There are some solutions that I'm aware of that aren't county solutions, from the educational districts to the school systems to some nonprofits that are helping, trying to fill the gap on the digital divide, whether it's free Chromebooks or hotspots, or they've cut deals with Comcast and other providers. I know some of that is ongoing right now, but the county, to the extent that it's doing things, you will have to wait for the county answer. I am quite certain they're doing something because those are their citizens and they can talk about that.
That's in fine.
Greater detail. So thank you for the question. Thank you for lifting that up here. And I don't have anything else. And what I would like to do in the last couple of minutes is give the final word to Chair Harrington and her colleagues if need be. So thank you for letting me facilitate tonight. Thank you for all the support from the county staff and the Washington County Rec folks. And thank all of you for coming tonight and taking your time to talk to your county commissioners and your community. So thanks.
Thank you, Marcus. This is Catherine Harrington again, the chair of your county commission. And I want to also recognize and thank two members of the commission tonight who were able to join me in the first of our six listening sessions over the next 2 weeks. They are Commissioner Pam Trees and Commissioner Dick Scouten. They've been real troopers in joining me this evening so that we have the benefit of hearing directly from you. And we look forward to the additional five sessions coming over the next couple of weeks. I do want to also thank the number of staff that have helped make this possible. Back in April, we had our first ever virtual town hall, or virtual meeting as these are referred to, with our community members. In the heat of COVID, our team rallied to help make it possible. And we focused our time that evening in furthering your availability to information about COVID. Over these many weeks, we have learned a lot. We have done a lot of work together to suppress the spread of this virus in our community. And we have a tremendous amount of information available to you on the Washington County website, co.washington.or.us. I want to thank all of you for joining us this evening. We really appreciate hearing from you and having these sessions together. We will be having more. So in addition to this concentrated time where we're trying to hear some direct feedback, specifically around body-worn cameras, but also public safety and other topics, we're going to have another community conversation series coming up in October. It will be our second annual budget listening tour. But this year, we're calling them the Community Investment Conversation because we're going to further our knowledge and information together from our first ever last year. So I want to thank my colleagues, not only for joining me this evening, but also for doing things differently and embracing these online techniques for engaging with you. We continue to receive phone calls, we continue to receive emails, and we get all of your emails very organized for us in constituent reports, which if you tune into our business meetings, I try to summarize for you. But I want to assure you that my colleagues, these commissioners who've joined us on this call, they invest their time in reading those reports as well. And time is one of our most precious commodities, and yours as well. And we appreciate your spending time with us today. This is how democracy works. And I am sincerely grateful to have the opportunity of engaging with you. So I think that's it for tonight. Anything to close up, Marcus?
No, I'm hungry.
Well, thank you, everyone, for spending an hour and a half of your evening tonight. I hope you had good breakout sessions. This is the first time we've ever used breakout sessions in our community engagement, and I look forward to hearing from our staff a little bit more about what the other two breakout sessions were like as the three of us on the county commission stayed in the main break room as we needed to do for public recording purposes for a public meeting. So once again, thank you everyone. Please stay healthy, especially in this age of COVID. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Good night. Thank you.